Welcome to By the Bay. It is Friday, April 24th.
Governor Mike Dunleavy has released a new health mandate for commercial fishermen. This comes the same day that Bristol Bay's Regional Health Corporation called for this year's commercial fishery to be closed. We hear what fishermen who want to participate will have to do. As part of its plan to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in the community, Dillingham is requiring permits for people coming into the community, but that is creating some confusion for people in Aleknagik.
We check in with the ongoing efforts of health organizations to prepare for the season. There's a new virtual Yurok dance session. It's open to anyone who wants to join. We hear about these new online dance gatherings and a new Facebook group that has other cultural resources for Bristol Bay.
And Earth Day was this week. We check in with Paul Liedberg, founder of the Friends of the Dillingham Landfill Committee. All that coming up.
I want to live forever.
Let's get started today. The Bristol Bay Fishery will be operating under a strict set of guidelines this season, laid out in a new mandate released Thursday by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Crew members and captains who want to fish in Bristol Bay will have to wear masks while traveling there and go immediately to the place where they'll quarantine for 2 weeks. Once they arrive, they'll have to have their temperatures checked twice a day. The mandate targets independent fishing boats, many of which are operated by captains and crew who travel to Bristol Bay from outside Alaska. Specifically, it applies to those that have not agreed to operate under a fleet-wide plan submitted by a company, association, or entity representing them. The new mandate also requires crew members to undergo verbal and physical screenings upon arrival, and they can't have respiratory problems or fever. Crew members are allowed to quarantine on board, though they're still allowed to fish, as long as they restrict contact with other boats and people on shore as much as possible. To protect communities, the mandate stipulates that crew can only leave the vessel for essential purposes. Boats are also required to continuously monitor crew members who show signs of illness. If a fisherman is suspected of having COVID-19, they must wear a mask or cloth covering and stay in a private room with a door and separate bathroom facilities, though that may not be available on every boat. In an announcement Thursday, Robert Clark, the chief executive of Bristol Bay's tribal health organization, said its priority is serving its 28 member communities. The arrival of several thousand fishermen and seasonal workers will put residents at risk, Clark says.
We really can't help people without a lot of extra help, and maybe even then it's going to be difficult. We're just, I guess, undergunned, understaffed, under-resourced to meet such a big thing. We've been planning daily. We got a team that's practicing up. I'm real happy with all of that stuff there, but we're not getting what we'd like to get and not getting it quickly enough.
BBAHC's executive committee voted to oppose opening the fishery. The corporation manages Kanakanak Hospital in Dillingham, which is the region's only hospital. It is licensed for 16 beds, 12 of which are suitable for people who need additional oxygen. It has no intensive care unit and just one ventilator for emergency use on coronavirus patients. Dr. Kathy Heineman is the clinical director of BBAHC.
We've had ventilator filters on order for weeks. We've had ventilators on order for weeks. There's not much supply.
Heineman says BBHC has a rapid COVID-19 test machine at the hospital, and the corporation is sending 5 more to villages around the region. As of Thursday evening, there were no reported cases of COVID-19 in Bristol Bay, and we're going to hear more from Dr. Heineman a little later in the show. Dunleavy's administration has been under increasing pressure to outline safeguards for Bristol Bay as the salmon season approaches. Mayors from the region sent a letter to the governor Saturday asking for a meeting and saying that they want the highest level of protection possible for residents. Dillingham Mayor Alice Ruby said her decision to take part in the letter came after discussions with city council members.
It was pretty clear that the council wanted us to put efforts to the greatest degree possible into trying to assure the safety of our residents. And what I heard from each council member was that, you know, closing the fishery was by far the way to assure safety.
But that's out of the control of local municipalities. While the municipalities continue to try to work with the governor, Ruby said, the city will focus on mitigating the community's risk.
Through the harbor, the police, our permit system, and all of those and also trying to influence those mandates from the Gov.
Processors are required to submit health and safety plans to the state in order to operate this season. Ruby said the city has not been allowed to participate in the approval process for those plans.
The Bristol Bay Borough, the City of Dillingham, and the Lake and Peninsula Borough are working with other local leaders to prepare for the fishing season. Mary Swain, the director of the Chamai Clinic in Naknek, said in a meeting Tuesday that the clinic was preparing for the upcoming season by hiring more providers and telehealth staff. Processors are encouraged to hire on-site medical professionals for each plant to help monitor any illness. Swain said Chamai is also ensuring that processors report cases to the clinic so that they can track and respond to the progression of COVID-19 in the event of an outbreak. The Bristol Bay Borough is currently considering a proposal by an Anchorage medical group to provide health and medical services to processors based in the borough. Manager Greg Brelsford said this would not be exclusive and that the borough would consider proposals from other medical providers. Governor Mike Dunleavy said in a teleconference with local leaders last week that the state would aid the Bristol Bay Borough in the face of a potential COVID-19 outbreak by calling on the National Guard, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Army to assist with medical evacuation, ferry supplies, and personnel. That's according to an update from the borough. Dunleavy was responding to a question from Borough Manager Greg Brelsford, who expressed concern about the 15,000 fishermen and workers expected to arrive for the fishing season. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, a group that represents fishermen, now supports COVID-19 testing and quarantine for fishermen prior to their arrival in Bristol Bay for the season. In a statement published Tuesday, President Fritz Johnson said that supporting stringent safety guidelines was important both for the health of communities and demand for Bristol Bay sockeye. Quote, a tragedy, particularly one that is aggravated by poor compliance on the part of the fleet in regards to best practices, could significantly damage demand for the fisheries products, unquote. The association will continue to work with communities to support the highest level of workable safety protocols that would ensure a 2020 season, Johnson says.
The city of Dillingham currently requires anyone entering city limits to apply for a travel permit. The city council passed that rule earlier this month. It's in place until May 1st. If the city manager approves the permit application, a person can travel to Dillingham, but there has been some confusion about whether and how the permit system applies to residents of Aleknagik. The answer is that it does apply to Aleknagik residents for now, but City Manager Todd Larson says a new permit that the city will introduce today should make it easier for people from Aleknagik to get into Dillingham to access basic services like grocery stores.
The changes would be a length of time and some different language on there, so we can make sure we get the information from the person correct the first time. We're hoping to get the situation figured out with folks coming down to go to the post office or go to the doctor or whatever they need to do.
The new permit comes out today. It will be available on the Dillingham City's website at dillinghamak.us. The City Council will have a special meeting next Tuesday to discuss extending the travel permit expiration date past May 1st. They will also discuss how they will implement the governor's new five-phase plan to reopen certain businesses locally.
The Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation is sending five rapid test machines to villages around the region. We checked in with Dr. Kathy Hindman about what this means for the corporation's testing capacity.
We have received permission from our pathologist, and in fact, encouragement from our pathologist to mobilize the Abbott ID Now test machines out to the villages. We have five of these machines that we will be able to send out to the villages. We are doing training for the village of New Stoyahawk this week. We anticipate sending the other four out next week. The bottom line is these tests will enable us to test for COVID-19 in the village right at the time the person presents at the village clinic for the five villages that will be getting the machines. We do not know at this point whether we will get more machines. Should we get more machines, we will make the decision on where to deploy them based on the needs of the individual communities.
And you're sending five out to different villages?
That is correct. Both within the industry here on the west side and within the industry in the borough on the east side, plans so far as appropriate testing and how to decrease the risk of disease continue to happen on a daily basis, with new plans coming out kind of as new testing ability comes out. For instance, currently what we can test for is we can stick a Q-tip in your nose and tell you whether you have virus in your nose. That's good, because if you have virus in your nose, you know, if the machine says you got it, you got it. And we can then help you know how to take care of yourself at home appropriately and how to protect your family from you. And that is good information, for instance, for incoming fishermen, for instance. If we knew before they got here that they had it in their noses, they should be disqualified from fishing. I mean, they should stay home till they're well. The problem is that we don't know how long a person still sheds virus after they catch it. And therein lies the rub, because if you test positive for it on June 15th, it looks like you shed virus for 3 to 4 weeks or longer. That's pretty much the whole fishing season.
So still some questions there.
Still some questions there, although the opportunity to do testing for blood serology, whether there are antibodies in your system, are definitely coming out right and left and quickly. The way to use that serology testing is as yet not clearly defined. So far as the IgG, the long-term antibodies to the virus, we don't know what that means, and that does not necessarily mean that you're also not still shedding virus. Once again, so many questions with this disease that we have not clearly answered.
Staffing remains a problem at Kanackanack Hospital. Dr. Heineman says they are working to bring in additional support.
We have some temporary duty staffing coming our way so far as nursing goes, so we're getting better. I don't know that we're there yet, but we're getting better so far as staffing.
Earth Day was this week, so we caught up with Paul Liedberg with the Friends of the Landfill to explore their efforts around town. The committee was formed by Liedberg 1 year ago to help make improvements at the landfill. In the group's first year, they built an electric fence and restricted hours at the salmon fish waste bin to help prevent the presence of bears in the community. They also helped community members clean up a shooting range by Snake Lake. Last fall, Liedberg says they collaborated with the Chugyung tribe and 20 other volunteers to dispose of some hazardous materials at the landfill.
And with their cooperation, we were able to ship out three 20-foot containers of electronics from the community, so that was great. That went along with recycling the fluorescent tubes. They contain mercury, so they're considered hazardous, so it's really something that we need to deal with carefully, and we were able to ship out about 500 fluorescent tubes, and there's more to go for sure.
Organizations in town are switching to LED light bulbs to help reduce fluorescent bulb waste. The group is also exploring how to extend the life of the landfill. They want to find ways to use the incinerator more efficiently and crush glassware. Liedberg says solving many of these issues are environmental and economic.
You know, if we can extend that thing to 40 years rather than 20 years, or 60 years rather than 30 years, it really saves money for every one of us, and it saves the difficult issue of trying to develop a new landfill somewhere down the road.
Residents can help by separating aluminum cans, glass, and other materials from their trash before it hits the landfill. People can take other materials like ammunition to the public safety building, fishnets to the harbor, and motor oil to Napa Auto Parts. Liedberg says people can also help by composting on their property.
It's estimated that 20% of material that goes into the landfill across the country is food waste. Compost is good for gardens, and so it helps us in a couple of ways. That's another thing that we'll encourage people to do, and that we'll be working on here in the near future.
There are no restrictions for people who want to compost. The group has hosted workshops in the past and plans to continue those efforts. You can find more information about waste at dillinghamak.us. Before we hopped off the phone yesterday, Paul gave a shout out to the landfill crew and shared some other Earth Day musings.
When you're talking about the environment, or when you talk about Earth Day, there's a tremendous number of ways an individual can be involved. You can be involved with the huge global perspective of climate changes, or you can be involved with the smaller local perspective in the way that our Friends of the Landfill group is working on local issues. None of them is wrong, for sure, and everybody can be involved at different levels, and I would encourage them to be involved at different levels, whether they're commenting on huge projects or whether they are taking their local and individual step to reduce the impact on our landfill and our community. I would just encourage people to keep it in mind and as they are buying and consuming and disposing of items, and be thinking about how they can reduce their footprint. And I want to give a big shout out to the crew that's working out at the landfill. They're doing a great job for the community, and they are working hand in hand with our group and with the city and with the community in making improvements to the landfill and making it a facility that serves the community and that we can be happy to have. So I would just encourage everybody to give them a pat on the back and help them help us with our efforts out there.
A series of Yurok dance sessions kicks off today at 12:30 on Facebook. I caught up with one of the people in charge of making these sessions happen.
We are at Yurok, Anaka, Akana Pastor Lucy, Kalaknaka, Kumiloshok, Adakasu, Amon David Snyder, Connecticut, Kumiloshok. We are Alaknaka, Kumi, Johim, Misu, Anglish Homa, Darom, Matamasini, and Kujak, Nyunga. Hello, I am Atkak Mashali Lutzik Snyder. I grew up in Aleknagik and Dillingham, and I currently reside in Anchorage. And I work for Bristol Bay Native Corporation right now as a Culture Camp Project Director.
I saw on Facebook that you were starting a Yurok group virtually for people to take part in on Fridays. Could you go ahead and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So through BBNC, we've been trying to brainstorm ways to help provide some cultural outreach since we aren't able to do it in person due to COVID-19. So as Culture Camp Project Director, this was supposed to be a pilot year for Culture Camp, and that has been put on hold because of COVID-19. So we've been thinking of ways that we could provide outreach for our region, have cultural resources, have language resources. And so we thought we'd start a Facebook group, actually, within the Bristol Bay Native Corporation Facebook page. So the group is Bristol Bay Amkazwe / Bristol Bay Nangkanka. That's reflective of a community house for Bristol Bay. Baswek is Yuxtun and Tuxtun for community house, and Nangkanka is Dena'ina for our house. And in that Facebook group, we're hosting different sessions, and one of those sessions is a Yurok session every Friday. And we're calling it Ilgayakmut Yuroktit, the Bristol Bay Dancers. And it's going to happen every Friday from 12:30 to 1, open to anyone who would like to join and just engage in our songs and dances and celebrate and share.
For people who might be a little bit shy or nervous about participating or just a little bit hesitant about participating, are there any requirements to, you know, have something ready, or is it really just about going to the group virtually and then seeing what everyone else is doing?
Yeah, so there's no requirements, no prior knowledge at all needed. It's open to anyone of any age, any ability. Those seasoned people who have yurok'd for a long time, or people who have never yurok'd before. So it's for anyone and everyone. For these sessions, I'll be sharing some of the songs and dances that I know, and then maybe open it up too for others who would like to share. But to start off, it'll be pretty informal, and I'll just share some songs, and I'll take it slow, and I wouldn't worry about not having an experience for anyone who wants to participate.
How are you doing in the current environment and everything? How's everything going?
Oh, considering everything, everything's been going all right. I think having things like this really does help. We actually did a couple of sessions of Yuhuk just with BBNC employees, and those went really well and were so refreshing, and we wanted to open it up to anyone who wanted to join. So I'm excited to host this session for our region and our communities.
Do you have any, like, songs that you would like to share?
So I'll share this one song, Shamta Nunanikuti, and it was actually created specifically for BBNC by Asi Kari Rayo. So I'll leave it there. The motions kind of mean out there and in here. We dance up there and down there. It's beautiful, this world of ours. And then the second verse, which I didn't sing, goes on to say, the Bristol Bay inside it, our livelihood, we pursue it. And then it's beautiful, this world of ours. And it's called Plamta Nunanikuti, our world's inner beauty. It was inspired by BBNC's corporate logo and mission, and Aussie created it to teach at a compliance conference that we did last fall. And so he gave us permission to use and share it. So that's probably going to be one of the first songs I do for our Yuhuk session.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for taking some time to talk today.
Yes, thank you, Izzy Koyana.
Kriana to Atkak Elitzik Snyder for speaking with us yesterday, and you can find out more about those sessions by going to Facebook and looking up the Bristol Bay group. We'll have a link on our website as well. And that is all for the show on this Friday. We're going to take a look at the weather, and then we have some community announcements coming up. Tyler, take it away with the weather.
Yes, currently in Dillingham, it's pretty cloudy. Actually, it's mostly sunny if I look outside right now. It's 44 degrees, winds are northeast at 12 miles per hour with a chill of 38 degrees. Today, we've got some patchy fog, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers, highs in the lower 40s to mid-50s, and east wind 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with isolated rain showers. Lows will be in the 30s with a northeast wind 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy. Isolated rain showers in the morning, highs in the mid-40s to mid-50s, and northeast wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Over in Naknek, currently it's 50 degrees with fair skies. Today, mostly sunny, then a few afternoon clouds, a high of 51 degrees, winds east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 37 degrees, winds northeast at 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a high of 53 degrees, winds northeast at 15 miles per hour. Up in Unalakleet, currently it's 35 degrees with sunny skies. Today, abundant sunshine, a high of 42 degrees, winds northeast at 25 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 24 degrees, winds northeast at 20 miles per hour. And tomorrow, a mainly sunny sky, a high of 38 degrees, winds northeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Now diving into some community announcements. Gray whale strandings. NOAA Fisheries is asking the public to help with tracking whale deaths in Alaska. Since 2019, NOAA has been investigating the increased number of dead gray whales along the West Coast and in the state. The most important action the public can take is to immediately report a dead, injured, or stranded marine mammal by contacting the Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network at 877-925-7773. This message is from NOAA. Bristol Bay Borough is looking to hire a chief of police. The position was posted this week, and it will be open until it is filled. The Bristol Bay Borough also wants to send you COVID-19 updates, emails, texts, and voice calls. Text BBB COVID-19 to the number 67283. You'll receive a link so you can opt into messages. You can choose from voice calls, emails, or text messages. You can reach the borough at 246-4224 if you are having issues opting into messaging. The State of Alaska Division of Elections is recruiting for election officials to work at the polling place in Dillingham for the following elections. The primary, which will be Tuesday, August 18th. The general election, which will be Tuesday, November 3rd. They are recruiting for a chairperson, co-chair, two judges, and a bilingual outreach official. If you're interested, contact the Region Elections Office, 443-5285. Essential air travel permit questions, emergency ordinance questions, contact the City of Dillingham Emergency Operations Center, email eoc@dillinghamak.us. I think that's going to do it for our community announcements for the day, Izzy.
That's right, and it will do it for the show as well. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah, take care. We'll see you next time in May.